coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast from WGVU, Senior Hunger, Grand Rapids Sled Wings, the author of Between Two Worlds, the YMCA White Elephant Sale, and Jennison High School Orchestra Director Dan Scott. That is on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast for Wednesday, March 11, 2026.
New campaign is connecting older adults to nutrition to obviously lower these numbers. U.S. Aging CEO, you, Sandy Markwood, on the line. Thanks for your leadership. It's good to age. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Remind me of the good work of U.S. Aging.
So U.S. Aging, we represent all the nation's area agencies on aging across the nation that are focused on ensuring that older adults can live well where they want to, which is at home and in the community.
Thank you for that. Our area agency is strong here in West Michigan. Is there a hidden hunger crisis among seniors?
There unfortunately absolutely is. Almost 13 million older adults in the United States experience food insecurity, and one in four older adults is malnourished. In your area, 12% of older adults are experiencing food insecurity. So it's a national issue, but it's also a state and local issue as well.
Why is this happening? And of course, the word hidden is key here.
It's hidden because oftentimes people don't recognize what older adults are eating. And an element of that is the fact that 28% of older adults in this nation live alone. So someone may not be paying attention to what kind of food they're eating. But there are lots of challenges that older adults face to eating well. And one of those challenges is the fact that so many older adults are living on fixed incomes, and the cost of food is a major affordability challenge for them. But also, older adults who don't drive or have access to any type of public transportation, just getting to a grocery store is a challenge. And then also for older adults, their health can pose challenges as well. For instance, mobility issues or cognitive impairment may prevent an older adult from shopping for food or cooking. And also health conditions and medications can impact an older adult's diet and appetite. And again, social isolation and loneliness can affect eating habits. Sometimes it's just not very fun to eat alone.
Let's talk a little bit about the kinds of, then, community-based meal programs available for older adults. How are we solving this problem?
Well, Area Agencies on Aging, and also known as AAAs, and you have great ones in your area, make it possible for community meals or congregate meals to be offered in places where older adults gather. And these are often senior community centers, senior cafes, schools, churches, and sometimes even restaurants that partner with the AAA. So there are a lot of options at the community level to be able to get a meal in a group setting. And if an older adult has problems with transportation and getting to those sites, oftentimes Area Agencies on Aging also provide transportation to the congregate meal sites as well.
Talking with CEO of U.S. Aging, Sandy Markwood, did you know there are seniors who are hungry in our own backyard, hence a hidden hunger crisis, how to solve? Remind me again, home-delivered meals, how they work, who qualifies. I know we have a strong Meals on Wheels of Western Michigan in our own backyard.
You sure do. And in addition to those community-based congregate meals, for older adults who have difficulty leaving their homes to get to those meal sites, there are home-delivered meals. And these meals are either fresh or ready-to-heat frozen meals developed by registered dietitians. So they're nutritious meals. And many home-delivered meal providers also offer medically tailored meals for individuals with health conditions like heart disease or diabetes. But these meals, these home-delivered meals, are delivered right to an older adult's door by vetted staff and meal providers and community volunteers that are there to deliver that meal, but also in the process to check on an older adult to make sure that they're okay.
We know the importance of that. Tell me, there is an elder care locator helping people find local meal programs?
Right. Well, if you are living in an area and you don't know your area agency on aging, or you're looking for other aging services, the Elder Care Locator is a national information and referral service. It's funded by the U.S. Administration for Community Living and administered by U.S. Aging. And it connects older adults and their families to AAAs and other organizations in their communities that offer services like these important nutrition services, but also transportation, caregiver support, and other in-home care. And to find out more about nutrition programs and aging services in your community, you can contact your area agency on aging directly. But again, if you're not sure of where your area agency on aging is, you can contact the Elder Care Locator by calling or texting 800-677-1116. Again, 800-677-1116. Or visit the website, www.eldercare.acl.gov, or easy, you can go directly to the U.S. Aging website at usaging.org.
Much information. We are the messengers. And again, it is good to age, but yet this hidden hunger crisis to be solved thanks to these action items. Sandy Markwood, thank you very much. CEO, U.S. Aging. Take care.
Thank you.
Did you know you can support adaptive hockey one shot at a time? Let's talk about athletes in studio, the coach to boot. Grand Rapids Sled Ring Wings, strong in our own backyard. Follow along on rinkstolinks.com. Big tournament coming up, so let's get you back to practice, as they say, and school as well. Whoop. Glad that you are here. We'll start strong. Coach Kaz, Steve Kozowski, good morning to you, Coach.
Good morning.
Thanks for what you do. Stepping up to the mic, rolling up to the mic, Andy Matthews, good morning to you. Defense?
Yes.
Yes. When'd you get into the sport?
About 6 years ago.
Why'd you get into the sport?
I knew one of the adult players, Susie Kluding, and she really pushed me through and to go practice, and I just took an immediate liking to it and just stuck with it.
Nice. Hope Gunyon, appreciate you playing goalie. What drove you to this opportunity?
I started with winger, but after like 3 years of playing, our junior goalie at the time was about to age out, and they were getting worried about getting another goalie, so he really convinced me to step up into my goalie position now.
Nice. You like it?
Enjoy it so much.
Oh, that's so nice. Coach Kaz, let's talk about your wonderful team. Give me a little history of your Grand Rapids Sled Wings.
So the Grand Rapids Sled Wings started in 2001 with a junior program, and then in 2008 added an adult program as well. This is my 18th year coaching, and the program has just really grown over the years. A lot of great athletes, a lot of success for the program over the years. The junior team has won a national championship in 2015 and in 2022.
The coach gets the credit, but maybe most of the kids as well, the players to boot. Before I go back to Andy and Hope, Coach Kaz, what's unique about your team?
Well, the Sled Wings in general were the only consistent junior program in Michigan. We're only one of two adult programs in Michigan. So what's so unique about the sport is it's a very low percentage of the population that play the sport. There's not a lot of teams, so we travel a lot to play. But our team is really recognized as a longstanding program. And a team that really just gels and supports each other, loves each other, and plays their hearts out.
Wonderful. All right, Andy, tell me how you play in the sport as a defenseman.
I'd say I play pretty physical, but also a lot of puck handling.
What is puck handling?
Oh, okay. I like to move the puck around to try to avoid players a lot and pass it to other teammates. I'm not very much of a scorer as of now.
That's because you're a defender, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get my opportunities to move up sometimes.
Good. I'll move over.
Usually try to stay back.
What kind of chair are you in the sport?
You're in a custom-built metal sled that has like a plastic bucket-looking thing that you sit in. It's a weird contraption, but it does the job, and it's a lot of fun.
What does it take for you to do your best, Andy?
Great team, great coaching staff, and lots of practice.
Wonderful. Hope Gunyon, goalie. We watched the goalies with Team USA, and that's probably what you do, correct? You mm-hmm. stop that puck.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Talk to me a little bit about how you do what you do.
It's a lot of a mental game. There is definitely the physical aspect to it. So hockey is different than stand-up hockey. I move around in my sled that goes side to side, which isn't traditional for skaters. But then I have a glove that has spikes on the end to move around, and then a blocker and a stick in my other hand. And that, it makes it a lot more physical because you have to move around a lot more than you can just sit there. And it takes a lot of upper body strength, but then yes. also the mental game to do.
Yes, thank you. Because you are strong athletes. Coach Koss, talk to me a little bit about the tournament that's coming up that's important, this Silver Stick tournament?
Correct. So the Silver Stick, if you're not familiar with it, is the longest running youth hockey tournament in the world. And we are the only sled hockey Silver Stick tournament anywhere in the world. We were sanctioned for the first time last year. So where we've had a tournament for about 20 years now, this is only our second year as a Silver Stick. We will have 17 total youth teams next weekend from as far away as Montreal, New York City, Pittsburgh, all over the Midwest. So it's pretty exciting for us to host that many teams.
Is this open to the public?
It's open to the public. It's free. We'll have our schedule on our Rinks to Links website with games all night, Friday night, all day Saturday, and in the morning Sunday at Patterson Ice Center.
Yes, wonderful ice center. Andy Matthews, remind me again about the work of Coach Koss. What kind of coach is he?
Oh, he's a great, loving coach. He always makes an effort just to make every player feel included and practice their weaknesses and strengths, but also practice everyone's fundamentals, because not one player is strong without everyone else being there. You can't just really have a one-man show in sled hockey, and we've learned that playing out throughout the years with other teams who have tried it and haven't done very well.
Do you engage in other sports year-round? I know that after the tournament, you pretty much wait until next season, or are you pretty much training all year long?
We train from late September to April, just about, but I don't really engage in any other adaptive sports. I've tried a bunch of them, and I just haven't quite taken a liking to any other one than sled hockey. I do archery in a wheelchair otherwise, but that's about it.
And that's okay, because mm-hmm. you find your niche and you get real good at it, which you are. Hope Gunyon, talk to me a little bit about your year-round process and what moves you. What's your passion?
Off-season, I play wheelchair lacrosse. I've just started playing. It's very fun, very physical, very similar to hockey. I'm not goalie in that, though, so I get a little bit more action. And it's just very good with how like similar they are to get the same practice.
You protect your teeth?
For now.
Do what you got to do, right? Coach Koss, what kind of opportunities are you giving your players?
Well, the great thing about our program, we're partnered with the Griffins Youth Foundation, and then we also run a nonprofit called Rinks to Links that all of the proceeds go to the Sled Wings program. Everything's basically free for the athletes. We give them the equipment that they need. We pay for the ice time. When we travel, we pay for their hotels. So it's really important for people to know in the community that there's an opportunity for anybody out there that has a disability that would like to try sled hockey. you know, I think a lot of parents think hockey right away, and that it's an expensive sport. They're not going to be able to afford to get their athlete into it. And people just need to know that we're there to support them. We want to give absolutely everybody an opportunity to play sled hockey if they would like the chance.
Nice. How does one get involved?
So you can contact me, find me on Facebook, rinkslinks.com. We do have our contact information. You can email us through there. You can ask anybody in the hockey arenas in the area, actually, and they'll let you know how to get a hold of us. We practice at Griff's Ice House downtown. We play our tournament at Patterson Ice Center, so feel free to reach out to me.
Any practice today?
No practice today.
Okay, you get today off to do extra study. Andy Matthews, why play adaptive hockey, please?
Well, you don't really have much other option being in a chair. You just make do with what you got, and you just grown to love it.
Favorite study, favorite class in school?
Coopersville, where I attend, has a lot of shop classes, so I'm really in tune with the metals program right now.
Nice. Star you are. Thank you. Hope Gunyan, again, why adaptive hockey?
When you have a disability, it's very important to stay physically active to make sure you can still be independent. So that's why I think sports are really important, to make sure you have that body strength.
What's your career goal?
Do whatever I can, get as far as I can.
Man, more of us need to think like you. Lady and gentlemen, thank you very much. Coach Cause, one more time, best way to find out more information about the tournament and more?
Rinkstolinks.com. We're going to post the schedule today. Again, my contact information is on there, so feel free to reach out to me directly, and we'll answer any questions that you have.
Coach Cause, Andy and Hope, thanks for representing the team. Go get them. Bring home a win, or close to it. Thank you. Between Two Worlds, a psychiatrist and her son's quest for compassionate mental health care, a lot to get into our conversations. I know, Ellen, for 4 decades, you navigated the worlds of psychiatry, advocacy, and motherhood shaped by your son, Daniel, hence Between Two Worlds. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for writing, well, about what you know, and of course, you, a psychiatrist, researcher, clinician, and more, including the good work of your son, Daniel, devoted animal lover, and volunteer. Between Two Worlds, how do you describe your work?
I for most of my career, I had a clinical practice, and was very involved with vulnerable people, especially homeless people, and set up the National Center on Family Homelessness, which was in existence for about 30 years. So it's been quite diverse, but it's focused on vulnerable populations.
Your work is drawn from hospital and school reports, a graphic description of Daniel's inner experience. Would you introduce us to Daniel?
Yes. Daniel is now, believe it or not, he's 40 years old. The story that we wrote about was his mental health history, which began, believe it or not, when he was 6 months old. And it was extremely complicated. As a kid, he developed Tourette syndrome, which complicated things, and was kicked out of school at age 11 and homeschooled. And that's when we began setting up alternative treatment programs. But at the age of about 19, 20, he had a schizophrenic break and was hospitalized 10 or 11 times. And finally, we figured out ways to support him and help him manage his symptoms and improve, which he has. And in the last 10 years, he's been quite independent, has developed a full life, purpose and meaning to him, and is doing quite well and is managing the illness.
Thank you for the good ending, as they say. Yet in between, as you write about the experience, the lifelong struggle with mental illness, and of course this journey, as you say, what, through a broken healthcare system?
Yes, and reflecting a lot of the broader healthcare system, the mental health part is in a lot of trouble now, I think. There are staffing shortages, bed shortages, the staff shortages include few psychiatrists who are available, and many of them have reverted to becoming, in some ways, pill pushers. They see patients for 15, 20 minutes once a month and no longer do the talk therapies, which is so essential to supporting somebody with a severe mental illness. So the system needs a redesign, but as we all know, there are problems within the broader healthcare system. So it's a very complicated issue right now.
Yes. Yet you do call for perhaps a change in the system. What were other parenting challenges that came with, this side of the hat you had to wear?
Well, Daniel didn't fit in with other kids. He didn't get invited to birthday parties. He was sort of a pariah. And part of what we really focused on was working with him to socialize, to become part of the community, and to find things that were meaningful to him. But it was not the usual course because he really didn't go to school. And in school, kids learn how to socialize. There are a lot of unstated benefits about being in a school setting, and Danny was out of school by age 11, and so we tried to make that up and put together our own treatment team and who could work with Danny, and it really has made a huge difference.
Talking about the book Between Two Worlds, a deeply personal memoir, a psychiatrist and her son's quest for compassionate mental health care, speaking with Ellen Boksek. Ellen, a couple minutes left. Do you call for a transformation in mental health care that embraces recovery principles and more?
Yes, for sure. A lot of the models now have shifted psychiatry into collaboration with primary care, because the system is so broken. And that's one of the models that I think may make a difference in the longer. Right now, depression and anxiety is mainly treated by primary care people. The more serious mental illnesses like what Danny had are generally excluded at this point. So that has to be completely looked at. But it's going to require allocation of funds, training, the whole nine yards. And we are far away from that right now.
And yet, as you mentioned in your open, Daniel has found independence, purpose, and community. The story of yours, a beacon of hope and a call to action. But we know the good work that is happening. Is he currently studying at Boston University Center for Psychiatric Rehabilitation?
Yes, he has been there for quite a while, takes courses there, has contact with peers, and it helps to socialize him, and he enjoys the courses. So that has made a big difference.
Super. Between Two Worlds, Ellen, Dr. Boksek, how do we find out more about your work?
Well, you can Google me. Go to Amazon and take a look at the book. They have a pretty lengthy description about that and about Danny and myself. Those are some of the ways. And to take a look at the Center for Social Innovation,
yes,
which was an outgrowth of the National Center on Family Homelessness, which is a recovery-oriented program. It's actually a for-profit, even though it it's not profitable, yeah. but it, because it deals with vulnerable people yeah. around the country. But there's been so many changes in mental health with this new administration.
Right. Ellen, thank you. Must let you go. Keep your good work up. Between Two Worlds, our best to Danny. Take care.
Okay, thanks for having me.
It's that time again, the annual YMCA White Elephant Sale, scheduled for April 24th and 25th, back to the 70,000 square foot plus former Art Van showroom on Alpine. And there is a reason why we talk every year and why this sale happens every year. And that probably answer comes from you, Neil Topliff, on behalf of the wonderful Y Service Club. Good morning to you, great Neil.
Good morning. It's always wonderful to be here with you, Shelley.
I always appreciate hearing from you and say, it's that time, get me on air. And I'll say, oh, I'll do it a couple of times. There we are. Let's talk about some basics first. Yes, remind me of the good work of the Service Club.
The Service Club does a couple of fundraisers every year, all of which goes to support the YMCA Camp Manitoulin on Barlow Lake. The biggest one, of course, is the White Elephant Sale coming up the end of April. But we also do a run through the rapids in the fall. And that run through the rapids provides about $15,000 each year to go exclusively for scholarships. White Elephant Sale supports the ongoing work and facilities of Camp Manitoulin to make it good for kids to be able to enjoy outdoor life.
And seeing great advertisements for get your kid into camp and obviously scholarships and more important. How does one get involved with the Service Club?
It's a matter of going to the White Elephant, to the Y Service Club website, which is gryserviceclub.org, and have information or make a contact with info@gryserviceclub. We meet every 2 weeks at one of the Y branches and have community speakers, which really help us find out more about the community and to build friendships with each other. We're doing all of our fundraisers with volunteers, all of our club members, plus about 100 others with the White Elephant Sale.
So what is a White Elephant Sale in general?
It comes from back with people that are so old like me that a white elephant was one of those things that was used for rummage sales. Ours is a gigantic rummage sale, as you mentioned, about filling 70,000 plus square feet. And this year we're going to really pack it full with things from hardwares, building supplies, valuables, carpets, housewares, office supplies, clothing, sports equipment, and we never know from 1 year to the next what some of the surprises are, and they're already showing up.
And some new, some gently used, and many in a bargain. Yes,
we have companies here in town who provide us with oversupply. And so we get a lot of brand new furniture and lots of gently used furniture from homes. We've had a number of estates where we've filled up the truck a couple of times from just four or five homes this year.
Well, again, we'll get you back in before your doors open on Friday, April 24th. Let's talk a little bit about what you need now.
What we're needing now is more of your donations, and there's a couple of ways in which you can get them to us. And the one is that use this week to do your spring house cleaning, and anything that can fit into your car or SUV. We have the donation center open beginning next Tuesday for the rest of March, every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and that's located at the White Elephant Sale site, and the address is 4273 Alpine Avenue, the former Art Van store, sort of next to Planet Fitness and behind some storefronts. You just go to the back end, back of it where it's quote-unquote the pickup center, but you're doing the drop-off center, and there are signs for you to get there.
Yes. When is your last day for drop-off?
Our last day for drop-off will be Saturday the 18th.
Yes, of April.
April, excuse me.
Yes.
Saturday, April the 18th.
I'm trying to figure out what day it is today. We're not even to March 18th.
No.
No. Do not
but
rush life. Yes.
We still have lots of room and for more donations. And that's the critical part, because the more we have, the more the 1,000, 2,000 people are able to pick from, the more we're able to give to Camp Manitoulin.
Neil, what do you not want?
Things that we don't want, for instance, are any used computers. We're not able to handle, you know, it's just a problem with computers, so we prefer not getting computers. Non-working TVs, in fact, anything that isn't working, please don't bring it to us, because the people that come to buy are wanting to buy things that work. So don't bring us that. The old TVs, cathode ray tubes, we definitely are not able to accept.
Remember those big TVs?
Yes.
You know, yes.
Unfortunately, we're not able to accept mattresses or for infant child car seats. They are things that, by federal law, we're not able to accept.
And obviously you're not a recycling center, so if you have a gently used or new pair of shoes, bring both in, not just one for a recycle purpose.
Right.
Yep. Yes, nice. Neil Topliff with us. It's the annual White Elephant Sale come end of April, but now your donations are needed. Give me a tease again of how that weekend of April works.
Oh, that's such a fun weekend, and it begins on Friday at 8 a.m., and the early birds who get the first crack at everything that's there will have from 8 to 9:30 a.m. They pay $10 for the privilege of early bird, and they get to look at the whole place. And then beginning at 9:30, we go and until 8 p.m. on Friday, and there's no cost to get in. And you have all of that time from 9:30 to 8 p.m. And then we are there again on Saturday from 9:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. And Saturday has got a special dynamic to it in that sometimes late morning, but certainly in the afternoon, most of the departments are giving special pricing, and it's often half off. And by late afternoon, you can almost be offering your price, and we take it.
But let's also look at the reality. The early bird opportunity gets you in to find all the first impressions there.
That's right. The early bird is what, and we have some people that are in line at about 6:30 in the morning, because they have been following our Facebook page and getting information, and they know what some of the gems are that have already been shown, and they know where to go, and they pick up the premium items and are in the line to pay and on their way even before 9:30 usually.
What's it like to hand that check to those at Camp Manitoulin?
It is it touches the heart in significant ways. And what we're looking at is, this year we're going to be from what we got last year, we're going to be replacing all of the mattresses for all of the camp get them to be more waterproof and bug proof and in real need, and so that will take most of what we raised last year to replace all of those.
At this point, do you need any more volunteers to take in or work that day?
Oh, absolutely. And the way that you can offer to volunteer is send an email to info@gryserviceclub.org.
It's as easy as that. All right, we'll get you back in April, but tell me what you need now, Neil.
What we need now are your donations, those things that either your business or your company or in your home, your closet, your storage, your garage, that you're no longer using and it's gently used and that you can give to a good cause that then will benefit the experience for kids.
Yep, you bet. Over the years, the support of goods and cash from businesses like yours, talking to you, audience, making it possible for you to provide more than $2 million from your sale to support. So let's double that. All right, Neil, go get them. We'll talk again.
Thanks so much.
Jennison High School Orchestra Director Dan Scott on the line. He's received a national award from the American String Teachers Association. Dan on the line in the middle of, well, teaching and playing today, this morning. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Honored to be with you today.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks to our mutual friend Kim Matthews, a very fast runner, who says you need to talk to Dan. He's won a big award. He's a good guy. So thanks to you, Kim, K-Y-M. Dan, when did you get involved in a string instrument personally?
I started playing the cello at 10 years old at Bowen Elementary School in Kentwood Public Schools. And I've been involved in music ever since, thanks to that wonderful first day in my public school education.
Nice. When did you know you wanted to, well, give back?
That's a really good question. I would say my entire life has just directed me towards being a teacher and a musician. But it was probably early high school when I started really having a bug for the teaching and leading of music that I get to do today, every day.
Yes. Tell me about the Jennison High School Orchestra.
Well, I'm lucky to, with my partner Joe Harmson up here and my colleagues at the middle school, Carol Johnson and Claudia Record, that between the four of us, we teach about 550 string students in a week. 175 of those are at the high school. At the high school, we have four orchestras, varying levels and ages based on their abilities and experience. And the top group we call the Jennison Symphony Orchestra, and they just performed at festival last week, and they play, you know, a lot of the same music you hear the Grand Rapids Symphony play, like Beethoven Symphony. We did the second movement of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony last week, and then pieces by Holst. And it's just fun to explore that great music with these young students, and their energy that they bring to the music every day is just a joy.
Are you in your 29th year of teaching?
This is my 29th year at Jennison. I did teach for 1 year in Kalamazoo Public Schools, so wrapping up 30 years here.
What have you recently won?
So I am very honored that last week the American String Teachers Association had me out in California for their national conference. And at the national conference, they presented me with what's called the Elizabeth Green School Educator of the Year Award. It is effectively our professional organization's Teacher of the Year nationally. They've been giving the award for 40 years now, since 1990. And to be honest, it's the who's who of my peers and professionals that I admire. I guess in some ways you could call it our Hall of Fame. And to be on the same list is humbling, to say the least.
So, getting my paper here. So give me your some one-on-ones. Elizabeth A.H. Green School Educator Award. I wish I had somebody to talk about you. I should have gotten Kim on the line, although she did mention the wonderful... obviously you show up and you do good?
Well, Elizabeth Green is kind of the grandmother of my profession. She started the string education program at University of Michigan back in the 50s and 60s. And so they've honored her by naming the award after her. And the people we pick for this award are the people who have shown leadership and in the profession and have done, unique or special things. I've been fortunate here in Jenison because when I started in 1997, we only had about 200 kids in the program, and I was hired as a 0.6 orchestra teacher. And in my 29 years here with my team, now we've grown to 4 orchestra teachers with 9 orchestras and over 500 students. So, and we've been lucky that we've been selected to perform at the national conference here in Michigan, or the state conference, I'm sorry, the state conference here in Michigan. And, you know, we perform at Disney World and other conferences and presentations around the country and state. So, Matthew Stafford a couple weeks ago winning the MVP for the NFL said it's a team award, and I would have to say the same here. I'm so fortunate to teach in a community that allows this kind of experience to happen for students and values it for their kids, and I have parents and peers and colleagues who have resulted in me getting recognized.
One being recognized, Jenison High School Orchestra Director Dan Scott, receiving this national award from the American String Teachers Association. Yes, the Elizabeth A.H. Green School Educator Award. Did you go to Walt Disney World?
Yeah, we performed just back in Thanksgiving. The all 4 of the high school orchestras went down and performed at Disney World. And that's a fun experience also, because at Disney World you can go into recording studios in the back, and then the students record a portion of one of the movies, and we get to see one of their movies with us providing the music for it. And that's just another one of those educational experiences that we try and provide to give these kids as great an education as we can.
Wonderful. Have you heard from, I mean, I'm doing the math, if you've been in teaching for at least 29, 30 years, have you heard from students that perhaps have studied music because of you?
I definitely have a few of those. It is humbling. One of my recent graduates is now the president of the student chapter at a university. I think it's Bowling Green University, and she's kind of following in my footsteps. And in many ways, she found out about the award the same day I did because of her role in the organization. And so she's been very sweet to me lately, just expressing her appreciation for the time she had in my program. And I have another student who reached out who is currently teaching professionally up in Canada, and he reached out too. And several former students and many colleagues have expressed their congratulations to me for this award.
Nice. Lastly, I played the bassoon and the trumpet because we didn't have strings back then. But what does music education, playing an instrument, singing as well, do for us in our young years?
Well, I think there's so many benefits to music. First of all, there's a thing that happens in the music classroom that can't happen in any other classroom. Every teacher provides, you know, engagement and fun and encouragement and all those things. But the music in the music classroom is unique. The musical moments that we get to create, that artistic moment, is unique to the music classroom. And then for students individually, first of all, it's something that they can be proud of, the work that they've done and the results that they get on their instrument. And then there's the team aspect of doing something together as a group and achieving that success as a group and high musical standards. And then I think the greatest thing about music is just what it does to the brain for young kids, is it just rewires the brain, makes connections and all those things that we're just beginning to understand. And I think you put all those three things together and it just makes music essential to child development.
Wonderful. Well, wonder what your next 30 years will be like, but I won't pressure you for that. Stay the course and work on today. How's that?
That's great advice,
yes,
Shelley.
Yes. Well, awards not new to you. You've won statewide awards in 2014, 2015, but this is 2026, and it's time for that Elizabeth A.H. Green School Educator Award. Jenison High School Orchestra Director, that's you, Dan Scott. How do we find out more information?
Well, if you want to check out jenisonorchestras.org, there's all kinds of information there. And if you go to Jenison, if you're on Facebook, we have Jenison Orchestra Facebook that you're welcome to reach out to. If you're really interested, there's a recent podcast episode that just came out. It's called Tootie Talks on YouTube. And they just did a nice 90-minute interview with me, too. So be happy. You can listen to that if you'd like.
Man, I thought it was your first. Nope, the news has been out. We're all good. Thank you very much. Keep on stringing, as they say, and representing well. Jennison High School Orchestra Director Dan Scott. Take care.
Appreciate it.